If you'll open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And as you're doing so, if you would join me in a spirit of prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercies. And Lord, we know that the definition of mercy is it is undeserved. And so, Lord, I pray that each heart here, including my own, would understand that we are not deserving or worthy to sit here and hear your word from the Scriptures. It is only by your grace that your word has been given to us and we don't fall over dead hearing it. And so, Lord, I thank you that you've given us your word. And I thank you for your mercy and grace that we can hear it. And I ask for your Spirit's work that we may not just hear it but receive it. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke any thought of applying these words to anyone else but ourselves. And so, Lord, do a powerful and mighty work as we close out 2020. For the same issues and things in our hearts will follow us into 2021 if we do not lean and trust in you for forgiveness and strength and change. And so, Lord, if there be any error in me or my preparation, I ask that you would let it fall to the ground and that your mercy and grace would reign in all of our hearts with discernment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I wanted to do a short-ish sermon, kind of reflecting on the dumpster fire called 2020. And unfortunately, over the past week, it's only gotten worse. I've had to, on the fly, change my beginning of my sermon a little bit because of what has happened in Nashville on Christmas Day. And we're not really sure what exactly the background to that is, but with the explosion in Nashville that knocked out communications and destroyed much of a very commonly walked place in Nashville. And along with that, many of you know now deceased Ravi Zacharias, the great apologist, and the allegations that seem to be verified of sexual abuse and misconduct. And it's very discouraging to me because we can point fingers all we want at Democrats, at Republicans as Christians. But the reality is, we each as Christians in churches need to take stock of our own hearts and realize that morality does not start outside of ourselves, but within. And I think globally, but specifically the American church, has gotten a bit too comfortable with their faith, and I have felt it and seen it and gotten too comfortable. It is very easy to sit in our pews, in our church walls, and say, "You're wrong, how dare you sin?" And so we ended 2019, and we began this year, 2020, learning how to lament. I did not and could not have foreseen how timely that series was. If there has been a season to turn to God, complain about what we are enduring, ask Him to intervene, and trust Him to do what is right, this is the year. Now, many of us have had many seasons like this before 2020, but very few, if any of us, could have lamented corporately so. And at the same time, and for many of the same reasons. And I'm interested to see what 2021 and beyond looks like for our church, because I think our church is going to look different. I think people aren't going to be around, whether physically or they've passed away. I think ministries are going to look different. Things aren't going to go back the same, especially if we have chosen to disconnect for whatever reasons. And so my heart is heavy for 2021. As I look back on this year and look forward to 2021, there is much that I lament in my own heart. What I see at the church at large, especially here in the United States, and even here at Blessed Hope Church, I grieve and lament the idolatry of government and politics. I grieve the idolatry of relationships, of friendships, of gossip, of strife, of sports or the lack of sports, of comfort, of old grudges, of unforgiveness, you can name it. It's all in our church, and it's in every single church. Because guess what? The church is full of sinners. Every one of you, every one of my issues is sin because we are sinners redeemed by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And I believe that 2020 did not so much produce idolatry, but God has used this year to reveal what is in the hearts of His people. And so if you heard this list and were offended or immediately thought of all the examples of people that are idolatrous around you and did not take a moment to feel personally responsible and accountable, then your heart is blind to your own idolatry and you're on the brink of totally missing what God is doing in His people in 2020 and as He transitions to 2021. And I will dare say you are part of the broken cog that makes the church as dysfunctional as it is. Because it's so easy for the church, whether it's nationwide, politically, or internally, to sit and point fingers before we weigh our own heart and deal with issues and our own inconsistencies and hypocrisies. And so every year we talk about New Year's resolutions as if the turn of a calendar resets everything. But the reality is that calendars change, but life continues and carries on with many of the same burdens and sorrows, regardless of a calendar turn. 2021 will bring much of what we have endured in 2020 with it. And rather than putting the season of 2020 behind us and forgetting about it, shoving it away, not talking about it, because not talking about things is not healthy either, we should reflect on what God has done. Even if that means searching diligently for His hand because we are so down, so depressed that we can't see it. And we need to repent of the idolatry that has been revealed in our hearts and move on toward healing in the gospel. And thank God for His grace, His mercy, and His patience with us. The reason we're all sitting here and standing here is because He is greatly patient. Now, I could just turn here and point out in particularly how we, as a church at large, or even as Blessed Hope, and each of us have given into our idols. But quite frankly, I think this is where the beating up of us can stop. We all know the seriousness of sin. It leads to hell. That's as serious as it gets. And we don't need another beating up of how bad we are really doing. So I'm going to leave that to Jesus to deal with through the power and influence of His Holy Spirit, and I will be praying that the Holy Spirit will lead myself and the leadership of this church to deal with the idolatry in our hearts as we see it on a case-by-case basis. But with all of that being said, 2020 has been a year. And I want to bring our minds and our hearts to Ecclesiastes, which I like to think of God's reminder that life is tough, so get a helmet. But make sure it's the right helmet that leads you to trust Him and be protected by Him. There's a reason why we put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and the boots of readiness with the gospel. For He is our protection in and out of season. So read with me Ecclesiastes 3, you know, a good wedding verse and all that jazz, but it's more than that. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Sounds like 2020, right? A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent. Some of us need to know that more. And a time to speak. Some of us need to know that. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. And the natural question is, what's the gain as a worker from his toil? But then the hope. I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He puts eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And so, unfortunately, for many, this passage in Ecclesiastes has turned into a bit of a platitude, a nice Hallmark greeting. We say it when we don't have a good explanation for something, or we want to remind people that nothing is forever. You know, the old adage is, it is what it is, could be a summation of this, or, you know, everything has a purpose, you know. This too shall pass. Maybe a good summary. But this passage is much more hopeful than a quick this too shall pass statement. This passage reminds us that we do not control seasons and that God is in all that we experience and encounter. Every season has its purpose. And I would say, even most of all, the painful seasons. If we just brush things off as a season without realizing that God has ordained it for His purposes, then we may never grow and come out of seasons healthier and stronger. The whole point of talking about seasons is the fact that God has given humanity things to do, work to do, toil. You will never retire from the work God has for you. You might retire from your day job, but God has never encouraged Christians to sit on their laurels and just enjoy sitting in a pew. And maybe that toil is prayer ministry. Maybe that toil is visitation. It might not mean you're in the nursery or teaching Sunday school, which we will need those things more and more. Youth ministry help. But God has given us a life to live, but not just to live, a life to live for Him. And it is all beautiful, even if it's mingled with years of tears and fears. You know, oftentimes we keep referencing in these days the Declaration of Independence, that God has given us the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is true, but I think our founding fathers missed a little bit when they didn't include in Him. I think you can get there. But if we try to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness apart from God, it will fail you. Because God has put eternity in our hearts. And that's why there are seasons. We are meant to live forever with God. And the only stipulation is we need to repent and trust in Him. We can't figure out the seasons for ourselves. We need to wholly lean on and trust God, for He holds the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And so we come to the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021, and we ask, what have we seen? Are we thankful? Or are we bitter, jealous, angry? This is probably more of a reflection for Thanksgiving, but I think we should always be thankful. In all things, give thanks with prayer and supplication, right? So I recently read about some background of the Thanksgiving hymn called Now Thank We All Our God. The author of that hymn is Martin Rinkert, or was. He is no longer with us. And Martin Rinkert pastored a church during the height of a severe plague in 1637. He was the only... this stresses me out. He was the only surviving pastor in Saxony and conducted as many as 50 funerals in one day. In that year, he performed more than 4,000 of them, including one for his wife. I've got it easy. And so this background of fear, social and political unrest, is when Rinkert wrote this hymn. This hymn of thankfulness to God was written amongst a year of great suffering. And he exhorts his people to thank God, not to thank God for possessions, not thank God for ease, but to thank God when life feels dark and hopeless. It is in the darkness that we are to bring the light of praise. And we just sang about that, didn't we? Let's rewind for a second, if I can. Okay? I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. And then are we hoping that Jesus takes joy in what he hears? I cannot honestly tell you that every ounce of every day he's happy to hear what I'm saying or thinking. But it is praise that brings light to the darkness. Praise of our Lord. Thankfulness for who He is. This hymn drew minds to thank God who bounteously fills every need in want and in plenty, in peacetime, in wartime, in sickness, and in health. When we sing praise, we are caught up to thank and love the giver rather than the gifts. And we just had a lot of gift giving and receiving. And so are we loving the giver more than the gift? And so how has 2020 drawn you to love Jesus more rather than the things and circumstances he has brought to you? I get into this hole every November into the beginning of the new year in having to wrestle with end of the year stuff, beginning of the year stuff. What is this going to look like? What is that going to look like? And then I can get to just start complaining about... I don't really complain about God. I complain about everything else around because I know that He is good and gracious and everything. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting here and I'm like, why can't some stuff just be easy and just flow? And so I'd rather have God do what you want. Just make sure it's easy for me. You can do whatever you want. But no, we are called and encouraged to love Him regardless of circumstances. Gratitude should never depend on our situation, but relies on our love for Jesus, who provided for our greatest need. We do realize that the hopes and fears of 2020 are met in Jesus, full stop. You know, I love the hymn that when it says the hopes and fears of all these years are met in thee tonight, it doesn't stop there. He has met them for eternity. It is through God and Jesus and the work of His Spirit that beauty comes from the ashes of difficult seasons. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, Jesus quotes this as applying to Himself. And He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." Do you hear who Jesus is there? Do you see what He provides in Himself? We go from mourning, and when He says, instead of wearing ashes, you know, we always sackcloth and ashes of mourning, He puts a headdress on. And then He says, we are an oak, and this just hit me, an oak of righteousness, that His people would be called an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And this just made me think of the very first psalm. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." That's our goal. So that whether Maine gets 60-mile-an-hour gusts of wind, whether it's culturally, religiously, or whatever, we stand firm because Jesus has planted us, not because we muster up the strength. And so whether it's 2020, 2019, 2021, 2025, if we make it that far, we are strong not because we have our own strength within us, but because of who Jesus Christ is. And so I want you to take some time and think back not just on 2020, but even 2019. How many things did we fail to recognize as blessings from 2019? How much more have we done so in 2020 if we don't confess we will be doomed to repeat in 2021? How many great moments, precious personal encounters, laughs, deep thoughts, great food, lifelong lessons did we just gloss over? It's easy to do so in a normal year, let alone the dumpster fire of 2020. In many ways, I've let annoyances, frustrations, disappointments, and foolish immaturity of my own or those around me overshadow the good and wonderful things God has done for me. How about you? Every season gets us closer to eternity that God has put in our hearts. And so are we trusting and praising Him for them? As we draw this year to a close, may we end this year with hearts that are turned away from ourselves, our problems, our fears, even from our friends, and turn our hearts to His grace and mercy, which should then exhibit into our relationships. All these areas and things will find their proper place and context if we are living in the grace, repentance, and mercy and hope and joy of Jesus Christ. But if we're just happy with what we've got here and just keeping that neat and tidy, we're going to miss the boat. We're going to miss the blessings and the work that Jesus Christ is doing. And we can easily shove seasons out the door and refuse to praise or reflect on the goodness of God. But may we be intentional in avoiding just pushing things aside, pushing them, choking them down, ignoring them, wishing them away. May we see, even in the hard times and conflicts, that God has been good to us, and He has been good to us, blessed hope. A pandemic has not yet, and I don't believe it will, overcome us, because Jesus is our King. And so as we reflect, may we see the value in humility. I'm going to stop there. May we see the value of humility. And what does humility do? It doesn't put yourself down. It's not like, oh, I'm such a, you know, you all, some of you really complain that I'm so hard on myself. It's okay. We can have come to disagree. But the humility says what Philippians tells us. Think of others as greater or better than yourselves. And what it means, what he means to say is think of them more highly. Not putting yourself down, but realize that there is human dignity in every person. We say that of the unborn, may we say that of the born. That they are created in the image of God, even if we do not line up with them. They still need Jesus, but may we have humility even in our faith. May we admit that we don't always have the answers, or that people we esteem highly have the right answers and are seeing things from all different angles. Over the past 2 years, my mind has just been rocked by the people that I held in high esteem on a great basis who have just crashed and burned or left the faith completely. And I'm like, you wrote books for Pete's sake. And that's because it's easy to hide our hearts and what's going on if we don't regularly submit our hearts to the Scriptures and to His Word. May we have humility. Number one, about ourselves. And number two, about each other. And may we reflect on the times we gave over to our idols or lost it. When we gave over to our idols, or we lost our cool or calmness when our idols were challenged, and may we repent of that. Tim Keller writes in his book, Counterfeit Gods, one of the signs that an object is functioning as an idol is that fear becomes one of the chief characteristics of life. When we center our lives on the idol, we become dependent on it. If our counterfeit God is threatened in any way, our response is complete panic. We do not say, what a shame, how difficult, but rather, this is the end, there is no hope. And so we have to ask ourselves, is there a person, a possession, a profession that you panic or would come unglued if it was threatened, let alone lost? I think for me, that's probably my children. Erica, to some degree, this church. Wait, church can become an idol? Yeah. Yeah. Relationships. And so may we reflect on the value of life, both in and outside of the womb, as I said. The one thing this virus has done is make us think about what bearing our interactions and actions have on others, especially the older generations. Maybe we might even become more caring, or we might become more militant in our way or the highway. But my hope is that the Lord would work in our hearts to be more empathetic and caring. And so may we reflect on the opportunities that we have been given to proclaim the glory of God and the Lord of love. And may we do that individually and corporately. And may we not do it through quick social media shares and political memes that lack context or clarity. God's glory is supreme, virus or no virus. We must each take up our own cross and follow Him. And do we remember what the cross is a sign of? It wasn't plated in gold and wrapped in a chain originally. It didn't just hang from your earlobes or your nose, whichever you prefer to stick it in. The cross is a sign of suffering and sacrifice. This means that our lives will be marked by suffering and sacrifice. But the end is hope. The end is life. Pride that asserts autonomy and control lives for personal gain, liberty, and choice, and is also an enemy to bearing one's cross at its root. We do realize that we are, yes, free in Christ, but we are free to serve Him rather than serve sin, Satan, and self. That's what Romans is all about. We have died to sin, but we are now slaves to Christ, bond servants to Christ. To live for God's glory is to confess our weakness, to repent of our sin, and point others inside and outside the church walls. Don't just fake it on Sundays to impress the church peeps. But we are to point to Jesus with our lives, including if it means that we talk with our non-Christian friends, said, wow, I screwed up, but thankfully Jesus is forgiving and I've asked for forgiveness. There's no shame in that. And actually, I think we as Christians need to do that probably more rather than having some facade of hyper-religiosity. As if you can catch sin cooties. Don't worry, you're sinful enough. You don't have to worry about catching it from other people. To reflect on God's goodness in trial is not to paste on a happy face. We can sorrow over what is lost, what is missed, and what is still not right. But even in the sorrow, we still praise, for God is good. And the paradox of 2 Corinthians 6:10, as Paul says, we are sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Being thankful even in trial requires special attention and resolve. But it is possible. We can choose to see what good things God has done even if we don't feel it. Remember, lament is all about, I don't feel like this is right. God, this stinks. But I trust You in the midst of it all. For You are God. You have proved faithful time and time again. And so as we enter 2021, regardless of the circumstance or year, we praise God for His grace that keeps us in and out of season, a season of embracing or a season of not embracing, a season of war or a season of peace. And so my call, and I believe it is the Lord's call because it's the Bible, let us end the year reflecting on the goodness of our God and love Him. For both the love and sacrifice He showed us, but for exactly who He is. Even if 2021 goes down in a ball of flames, He is still good. There is hope in Him. And so, Father, we come to You, pensive and reflective. Lord, we do want out of this season. We want it to end. We want You to take whatever means You deem necessary to rid our world of all sickness and death, but specifically COVID, Lord. And we ask you to intervene on Capitol Hill and what means you deem necessary to bring out human flourishing of our neighbor and your kingdom's people. But Lord, we know that regardless of what things look like politically or even globally, you are our King. You are our Sovereign. And we ask that that reality would be true in our hearts, whether we are sitting in church on a Sunday, in a small group during the week, but wherever we are, with work friends, with close friends, Lord, we will stumble and we will fall, but Lord, give us strength to continue to sit at the foot of the cross and bear our own cross, knowing that you stand victorious over our sin and our failures, and we will one day bow before your throne for eternity, thanking you, praising you, and living for you, with you as our Son of righteousness that has dawned for eternity. And Lord, we welcome that day. We welcome it now, even this moment. Lord, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.